Welcome to the Holistic Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Keisha Blair, wife, mother of three, author of Holistic Wealth, and founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. The show will showcase various experts in the key pillars of holistic wealth. Each week, we deliver the best information on how to become holistically wealthy and live your best life. Today, we have a very special guest with us. We have Rebecca Wiener-McGregor, and she is an amplifier of love and catalyst for breakthroughs. She shares her gifts as a transformational hypnotist and money mindset coach, committed to helping visionary women live their truth, step into their divine purpose, and create the life of their dreams. Over the last 17 years, she has helped thousands of clients to release old blocks, traumas, loss, and hidden fears to find a deeper sense of self-worth and determination to live life on their own terms. Rebecca, welcome to the show. It's amazing having you here. I'm happy to have you and excited.
Thank you so much, Keisha. I'm thrilled to be here with you too.
Absolutely. And so I just wanted to get started because in that intro, there's so much wrapped up in there in terms of living in your divine purpose and also releasing traumas and blocks and money blocks and hidden fears. And so can you tell us about how you got started in this field? And why you've chosen to kind of meld all these different pieces together, which are so important, but would love to hear your perspective on that.
Thank you. It was like an accidental start, you know, a quote unquote accidental start, where I was introduced to hypnosis by someone after, you know, years of studying psychology and not having any understanding of hypnosis whatsoever. I was introduced to it through a friend, and I did the work and found a class to go to, and my friend actually found the class to go to, and then he was supposed to go with me and he ditched me. And during that time in my life, it was very uncharacteristic for me to do things by myself because I was dealing with quite a moderate level of social anxiety. And for whatever divine reason and purpose in that moment, I went to the training by myself and actually, through hypnosis, released the traumas that had caused anxiety in me that was still showing up in my life years later. And so having healed my anxiety, the thing that caused the anxiety, I started working with men and women, helping them with anxiety and panic attacks and rage, that kind of thing that was related to traumas, which it usually is. Like when we're feeling something that we don't know why we're feeling it, it's not making sense for the current experience, it's usually related to something in our past, right? So, and who I ended up working with over time were more and more entrepreneurs. And many of them came to me with the understanding that I know that I'm the only thing blocking my success. The way that I'm thinking, the way that I believe, the way that I feel about money is the thing that's blocking my success, and I need you to help me with it. And so probably about 8-10 years ago, it started really moving in that direction. And then I developed a course to help people basically with all the questions that I was getting regularly, and, you know, helping with the tools that I developed to help these things, and tools that mainstream tools, using them in the breaking of limits and things like that, basically put together a program for people to be able to master their own coaching, their own self-coaching. So that's the journey with that. But it's been so amazing and fun because I love watching people really work through releasing old gunk, that's what I call it, and stepping into the truth, their purpose and their mission, which becomes, you know, even more clear to us once we have released all the things that stand in.
Yeah, no, that sounds amazing. And so you mentioned something at the very beginning about social anxiety, and I wanted to tap into that a bit because it's COVID, and I'm sure everybody's feeling like we all have that. You know, it's unbelievable. We're all questioning everything now. And so I just wanted to get your perspective on what signs to look out for. What are the feelings, kind of the phobias? And you mentioned too that it's based in traumas most times. And I'm wondering if you could just walk us through that, even through your own personal experience, so that people who are listening in and wondering, am I dealing with social anxiety? Is that what's going on with me? And how can I even recognize the signs? And then what do I do kind of with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to preface this by saying, if you're noticing these things about yourself, try not to judge yourself. Just acknowledge that you're feeling them rather than thinking that you've done something wrong or that you're messed up or that you've ruined your life or something like that. Okay. Because sometimes we start to notice stuff about ourselves and we think, oh, you know, I'm smart. Why is this happening to me? I'm, you know, pretty happy. Why is this happening to me? You can be dealing with anxiety and have a good life right now. You know, you can be dealing with anxiety and be very successful. So it's not just try not to judge yourself about it if you're feeling it. But for me, it was really showing itself as hiding. I was hiding a lot, not going out very much, and I was in my mid-20s when this began, and I was 29 years old when I completed my training. And it was showing up as, you know, my mind saying, you won't find your friend when you get to the place where you're meeting them. So have them meet you at the door. Like, really irrational thoughts, right? Because that's what anxiety is. It's telling you that you're not safe when you actually are safe. So I was hiding a lot. I wasn't really working on my vision for my life. I was hiding in a job, hiding from commitment in a relationship. We were both hiding from deep commitment and true love from other people because we were afraid of it. It was showing up in my body as tension, tightness on my chest, racing thoughts, tension on my shoulders. And I would just have this internal, I would just stop myself when I was trying to do something. And I would think, you know, okay, this is the party that I'm going to go to. And I couldn't make myself go. This is the event at work that I'm going to go to. This is the time when I'm going to break free of this. And my body, my mind just were fighting against me, wouldn't let me go. And yeah,
wow, that's unbelievable.
And you know, anxiety shows up in lots of ways, different ways for people, but that's how it showed up for me. And I had had an experience in my pretty recent past, in my 20s, where someone I knew had been assaulted. And that had a really big impact on me and my perception of safety. And so I had to work through that trauma and how it affected, how it became something that held me back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so you identified your trauma. I'm just wondering, with your current clients and, you know, just in your experience and in your training, how do you help others, you know, kind of recognize their trauma and kind of what's causing and what's triggering, you know, this anxiety or the fears that they're having?
Very often when people come to me, I'll ask, you know, what event in your life kind of changed you? What was like a turning point in your life? And most people can identify it, right? We usually have one big thing, or it can be a series of tiny little moments that other people looking at your life would probably not think that it mattered. Like, oh, he can get over that, or she can move past that. It was no big deal. But especially when we're in our like 0 to 8 years old, that's the very, very important time in our lives where if we're having, you know, a moment of shame or a moment of guilt or embarrassment or terror or, you know, fear that comes up in us because of whatever is going on around us, it can really cement in that time. And a lot of the most of our emotional responses are based on what happens at that time in our life. For some, it's, you know, later in school, things can, you know, kind of piggyback onto a little moment that you had when you were, you know, 5 years old. Oh, this feels like that moment when I was 5 years old, and it can accelerate the effects of that, or amplify the effects of that. And so how we talk about healing it in hypnosis is to be in that relaxed, focused, concentrated state of hypnosis, and then talk about the experience. And we do this in such a way of where we actually repeat it. And while in hypnosis, because our beautiful brain is designed to heal itself. So when we can talk about the experience and release the emotion from it, it becomes neutralized. So the experiences that come after that, they don't carry that same emotional weight because the initial event is calm now. There's peace there. There's very often forgiveness, like you talk about in your book, being so crucial to you. Forgiveness, mm-hmm. acceptance, those go hand in hand, of course, and being able to neutralize the physical responses in the body. Like I mentioned, mine was like tightness in the chest or racing thoughts or, you know, maybe feeling like I couldn't catch my breath. Those kinds of feelings in that experience are also neutralized. And when we do this for those series of moments, traumatic events, what happens is that they begin to stay in the past. Very often when I explain this, many of my clients can identify that when they're in a current moment and something happens, they're not just operating from the current mm-hmm. moment. They are getting a tidal wave of emotion coming from stuff that's not resolved. A tidal wave of responses yeah. of our body saying, hey, do this, do this, do this, because this is what you did last time and it kept you safe. And this is how we handle trauma. This is how we handle this kind of experience. So yeah. let's make these thoughts come. Let's have these physical responses start up, and then this will be your behavior. But when you neutralize those experiences, you get to be in the present moment and you make decisions from here and the age that you are now rather than the ages of your trauma.
Yeah, and that's so true and super interesting. And there's something that you said that I just have to ask about. When you mentioned about the brain being able to heal itself, I thought that was super interesting and super amazing. And I'm sure listeners want to hear more about that particular point. So can you just like elaborate on that?
Absolutely. So I'm not a neuroscientist, but I dabble. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I've learned enough for my career is that when we have something happen and we have a series of pathways, that way of thinking, right? And then the brain responds with the activity of the mind and the thinking that happens. So we begin to create beliefs based on what we think in those experiences. And like, I deal with, help clients deal with a lot of physical and sexual abuse. And they begin to have very commonly the feeling that I'm not worth anything because this happened to me. And they begin to have these thoughts over and over that are related to that. And those create pathways in our brain. Yes. And when we heal, neutralize the experiences and really start to recreate new pathways, we can recreate new pathways, build new roads, basically, by thinking new thoughts. So that old pathway that said, I'm not worth anything. I'm here for someone else just to be a punching bag or whatever. That once those things are healed, we get to believe new thoughts. Like, I am valuable. The person who was doing that to me had their own set of problems, and I happen to be impacted by those issues. And I get to still use what happened to me in that experience as lessons learned for myself. I get to use what I learned from that, and I don't have to stay stuck in that. I can lovingly bring myself to a place where I get to have my desires now. I get to move in the direction of my dreams and my vision. I don't have to be held back by that experience. Now, I'm saying all that with such complete love because I know that there is quite a path from I don't think me and my dreams are worth something to I'm moving forward and healing. I know that there's a distance there. And a time frame. It takes some time usually to make that happen. But the knowing and the understanding that you can heal from that has been so incredibly powerful to my clients that even when they come to me for a consultation and they begin to understand that, they get to have hope. And many of them say to me, I don't know if I've even had hope my whole life because I thought that this thing happened to me. This is how I feel now. And this is the way it's always got to be. And because I have so many goosebumps right now, because our beautiful brain can heal and the thoughts in our mind can change, our belief systems can change, that we don't have to be stuck in the past. We don't have to be so attached to that pain like I was and so invested in being someone with anxiety because I think that I've got to get used to this way of being, because this is how it's going to be until my last breath, that the incredible and exciting and beautiful truth is that when you give your body and your mind the space to come to acceptance, that you create new pathways and new beliefs and a whole new different kind of future for yourself than what you maybe thought was going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And in Holistic Wealth, I talked about that too, in terms of creating these new pathways and really healing and, you know, changing the past and staying in a certain mindset. So that's amazing and so true. And so, Rebecca, I know you also deal with money blocks as well with clients and money mindset. And just recently I wrote an article on ancestral money blocks because that came up in a previous podcast. And I thought it was just so amazing as a topic. And we don't normally talk about these things, right? Like you hardly hear people talking about ancestral money blocks and even money blocks, you know? And so I'd love to delve into that with you too, because I know you're an expert in that as well. And from your experience and with clients, and just wondering how people can start to overcome these money blocks and really change their mindset about money, you know, in order to really live the life of their dreams.
Absolutely. Again, I've had my own, right? I feel like every coach, every healer brings the healing that they need into their life for themselves first, and then they get the pleasure of sharing it with other people. But the root of the gunk about money that we carry is the same as the trauma that happens in our lives. And the thing about when we have a moment of trauma in our lives and we start creating beliefs around it, our behavior and the words that we use and impact the people around us. So long lines of people have dealt with the same blocks, the same mindset, the same beliefs, generation after generation after generation. And in my family, for example, there were generations of very much like hard work not paying off. Such hard work. And if you want to get anything, you have to work so hard. Work your fingers to the bone. Work, you know, there's blood, sweat, and tears and all of that. And the thought of money doesn't grow on trees. Like, it requires so much hard work. And then when you do all that hard work, in many areas of my family, it's very little reward. So even though you think, I've got to do all this hard work to get anywhere, to get any flow in my life, and then the flow is actually just a trickle, like 100% passed on behaviors and mindset, right? Because we just, the way that my parents behave, for example, because I love my parents and it's natural for us to want to be like our parents, even when our parents aren't great, because we know many people whose parents aren't great, that we want to be like them because matching them is what feels normal and natural.
Yeah.
So witnessing things with my parents, that they witnessed with their parents, that my grandparents witnessed with my great-grandparents, and so on down the line, all comes back to me. So when I break something, when I shift something, and I believe this on a spiritual level, when I make a shift and I have growth for myself, I have growth for my ancestors and growth for the people who come after.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so true. And you mentioned some of those money blocks there that you have to, you know, work yourself to the bone or else you won't make it. You won't get that promotion at work. You won't get a higher salary. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about them one by one, and they're so dangerous for so many reasons. Not only do they lead to burnout and frustration when we don't achieve those results from working to the bone, but it leaves us feeling hopeless, because then you're like, well, what's the formula then? Because I was grown up on this kind of formula that I should work myself to the bone. You know, and it's not working. And then many people reach into midlife and have realized that there's something drastically wrong here, because sometimes the people who are getting ahead aren't the ones working themselves to the bone. So that leads well, segues well into, you know, the next question, manifesting and, you know, really living a life of balance and the role that manifesting can play. Because I feel like you're right. We have these money scripts that we all need to change from our childhood and from childhood trauma around money. But then, of course, there are other factors at play in terms of our spirituality, the role that manifesting can play, and writing a new money script for ourselves. So I know you, as a hypnotist, you would have some, you know, tremendous insights into that. So I just want to just go into that, because I'm sure lots of people, especially with COVID, who've lost jobs anyway, and they're thinking, but even in that previous job, I worked so hard and I have nothing to show. Like literally, I worked paycheck to paycheck, giving this company my all, my everything, barely seeing my family, and I have nothing to show for it. And that's millions of people all over the world right now, which I honestly think that's partly responsible for this great resignation wave that we're seeing and this apathy towards just going back to that lifestyle. Because you know what? It was not producing rewards, but yet still people are tired and burnt out and exhausted because they've given everything. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because, you know, we're in a world now where we're thinking, rethinking about what we want our post-pandemic lives to look like. We know we don't want to go back to those old scripts around money. We want a better way. And we know that there's a certain formula that just isn't working, and that's working yourself to the bone. So I just want to get your thoughts on that, you know, as people sift through how to pivot, how to change their lives and the next move.
Keisha, I think you in all the words that you used around that, they were so powerful, right? How there's so much energy and emotions swirling around the pandemic and all the change that gets to come from that. I have so many goosebumps, like waves of goosebumps happening right now, because that was so important that you said that. Because when we think about how we want our lives to change post-pandemic, that means that we get to view the pandemic as an awakening for ourselves. We got to and are continuing to, for many people, right? This is still out there, that we get to view it as an opportunity to reset and rethink our own priorities and our own desires for our lives. And there's such a huge opportunity here for building awareness, which really, what are the steps to any kind of healing, right? Deciding that something feels bad enough that we don't want to do it anymore. And then the next step is building the awareness so that we can begin to take action on the things that we're aware of. And I think for many people, they've become aware of how the systems that they were in were not serving them. And how this blood, sweat, and tears, look, there was no payoff for me after this. There has to be a better way, is this beginning of this awakening, right? There has to be a better way, which, because many people are exhausted right now from all of the emotions and the hard work and the fears, different levels of fears, and the conflict around so many things that have happened in the last year and a half, that we have to be really loving with ourselves first. Of course, you know, I'm always going to put that in there, to be loving and to release that judgment of the self for wanting to change. Because during this time too, we can also begin the story of, well, I have it better than other people, so why should I want more? You know, I should just be grateful for what I have. But right now is when people's true desires and visions are beginning to really start to poke their head out, right? Like, oh, there is something better for me. Maybe I could start this business. You know, I've been coaching people my whole life. Maybe I want to be a coach now, or maybe I want a whole new career. There's so many things that we can be told right now is not the right time, that to really acknowledge that when you begin to have this awareness and you begin to have a shift in desire, it is the right time. It is the right time. If you're feeling that, you get to start moving in that direction. And when you are thinking about, you know, what path you want to take, what if there's you're having this awareness and you're noticing, every time I start to think about this, I get a feeling in the pit of my stomach. That is your body. Mm-hmm. That's like huge awareness to notice what your body is telling you. It's kind of leading you to your limits, right? It's leading you to,
yes.
Oh, every time you want to log into your banking app and check your balance, but you get a stomach ache because you're not sure you want to see it. You're not sure if it's going to be positive or negative. You know, you don't know what the credit card balance is going to look like or whatever. If you're getting that feeling in your stomach, then you know that you have a block about looking at the money things head on. Maybe your thing is, you know, if I ignore it, it'll just, I don't have to worry about it or whatever. You just start to begin to notice what your body is telling you and then connecting it with the circumstance that you're in and the thoughts that you're having. You can get a really huge understanding, a good understanding of what's happening with your blocks and how they're showing up for you. Everybody has them, right? Keisha and I have been in this. We know everybody's got blocks about stuff. And it's not about thinking you're the only one or that you're wrong for having a block or you're really messed up. It can be exciting that you start to notice that your way of thinking is around, you know, what your way of thinking is around this certain experience that you get to. Then the next time you're in it, talk to your body. I know it sounds kind of silly, right? But talk to your body, talk to your mind, be your own hype person and say, I'm going to face this head on today. I'm going to start. I'm going to open my bank account or I'm going to open my banking app and I'm going to look at it. And I'm going to start when I see what's in there, I'm going to pay attention to my feelings about it. Because at the core, every experience that we're in is neutral. It's what we decide, what feelings we decide to assign to it that make it positive or negative. So if you can be in that place of becoming aware and acknowledging your feelings rather than judging them, witnessing them, noticing them rather than reacting right away, you get to have a little space between what's happening in your life, what you're thinking about, and your immediate reaction. There's a little space in there that you can start to take, and you can start to notice how you're thinking about yourself, the words that are coming up for you in your self-talk, how you speak to yourself, how you think about yourself. And those are keys for you to unlock these limits because you get to start thinking new ways about yourself. You get to seek healing if that's something that you feel is appropriate for you. You get to find a coach. You get to start reading and looking for experiences that help you acknowledge and move through these limits and retraining your brain, rewiring it, right?
Absolutely. And it's so funny, like, you know, you always hear that quote or that phrase, never ever say to yourself those words, those terrible negative words that you'd never say to a loved one or a friend. And because they're so devastating in their impact and they're so, so just horrible for self-esteem. But Rebecca, I just wanted to ask you about the manifesting part, because that's such a very, you know, it's such a good activity to do now when we all have the space and we're all thinking about kind of the life we want. What's my vision of myself? What does that look like? Do you have any tips and strategies on how people can start to manifest? And if it's new for someone, how they can start and kind of make it work?
Absolutely. So the first thing that I like to address is that manifesting is a verb. It is not an inactive experience, right? And the truth is that we are manifesting all the time. But when you learn that you can focus your manifestations, that you can allow yourself to, as you change your thoughts, as you change the way that you look at things, then you get to invite different experiences in your life. And you also get to acknowledge where you're blocking them. That is the power of, I think, discovering manifestation at all, that knowing it's happening already is important. But knowing that you changing how you react in situations, how you feel in situations, whether or not you are blocking things coming to you, which is we could do a whole episode on that. And, or if you're open to the flow of receiving, and it comes down to our worthiness, doesn't it? And so noticing, you know, if I'm having trouble logging into my bank account and taking a look at what I have, I might be blocking money flowing into my bank account. Because if I have a block about whether or not I am worthy or whether or not if I've worked hard enough to have money flowing into my account. Mm-hmm. And if I feel like I'm not doing those things, then I'm probably blocking more flow coming in.
That's unbelievable. I'm sure people are like, really? Am I really blocking it by doing that? That's right. Unbelievable. What are some of the other ways, Rebecca, that we block the money flows?
These are very, very, I have kind of the hot hits, right? I'm a very spiritual person and my gifts came from God or the divine, so I shouldn't be charging for them. Or mm-hmm. I make money helping people when they're struggling, so I shouldn't make money off of other people's problems. So I shouldn't benefit from this in some way. And there's a whole conversation about how the people who are suffering need to have that energetic money exchange actually to help their healing and to be invested in their healing. So that's a whole other conversation to have too, isn't it? But just to acknowledge that there are many stories that we tell ourselves. And this is where that awareness is so key. Like when you're looking at your bank account, when you're feeling like every time I look at it, there's not enough. I don't have enough. When we have that belief that there is never enough, that is the belief that your brain will keep fighting to prove to you is correct, because our brain wants us to be right. So if we think there isn't enough in the world, then we will continue to be shown instances where there is not enough. And when we shift that, this is what gratitude and forgiveness are so powerful in my own life as well. That when we start to see, I have so many moments in my life every day that I feel fullness of joy, that I have a place to live that serves me. I have wonderful people coming in my life. I was, sometimes it's on a, when I started this process, it was like a basic level. I have money to buy groceries today. I have money to, somebody gave me food today. So I had this fullness of flow in my life that I'm grateful for everything. And when we begin to notice all these things that we're grateful for in our life, our brain will start matching that energy and looking for more things in the world to be grateful for. Oh, look at this came into my life. My insurance company sent me a $43 rebate the other day because I had overpaid something somehow. And, so things can start popping up like that in small ways. And then you maybe offered an opportunity where you can make more money doing less work, or you maybe have an opportunity where someone presents themselves to you as a potential client for this new coaching thing you want to start, for example, and things start to show themselves to you because you're not stuck in the there's never enough. You're starting to use the power of your mind to notice opportunities. Because when we're in that place of never enough, it's like we've blocked out, we've built a wall, right? There's never enough anyway, so I'm not going to expect anything good. And when we start to shift, like, hey, I have plenty right now. Start just shifting. I have plenty right now. I'm grateful for what I have right now. And then the beliefs can shift into from I have plenty, I always have so much flowing into my life. I receive money, I receive blessings every single day in different forms. I just have to look for them. That's that energy of gratitude that will start to, and the energy of expectation and appreciation that your brain will be constantly looking for opportunities for you to feel that way during the day. And that wall begins to go away.
That's amazing and so good. And it's so true. It's so important. Gratitude is everything. And so, Rebecca, I know you did the personal financial identity quiz. And every single episode, I ask guests to share their results with us because it's so inspiring to hear women talk about it and to hear women share their different insights and their different thoughts and ideas around it, how they save, how they invest, how it's influenced their mm-hmm. business. And so I'd love to hear yours and to share also your insights, in terms of your identity and how it's shaped you in terms of your business and your personal life. So can you share that with us?
Absolutely. So I identified as a maximalist, which I was like, wow, that's really interesting. And then I was thinking about the questions and I was realizing that it made sense for that to come up for me, because in the past, my MO, especially when I was deep in that anxiety, was there's never enough. You can't spend anything. And I looked at debt in a whole different way. Debt was like pulling me down and terrifying me. And I mean, even tax time was like stomach ache inducing because I wasn't sure how I was going to handle tax time, you know, all that stuff. And this identification of a maximalist was, it was fun for me to acknowledge, I don't have a problem with debt right now in my life. I have a few student loans I still have to pay on, and I'm working on those. And those are good debt to me because no one can repossess my education. And when I think about in terms of my business, do I invest in programs that help me? Yes. Do I have a coach? Yes. Do I have employees that I've hired because I have decided that I have to be in flow. I can't lock up my spending and only try to receive. For me, it feels good now to be in a place of, yes, I can invest in great people and great things. And then, yes, that comes back to me. So I'm not afraid of spending, and I'm not afraid of a little bit of debt when it makes sense for me.
Right. And that's so true of the maximalist too, which I think is amazing for business and for entrepreneurship, because I think a lot of the money blocks that come into play with business and making more money is tied to debt somehow. You know, some people fear taking measured risks. Like, I have a whole chapter in Holistic Wealth about taking measured risks. And that's so important too, right? And that's also wrapped up sometimes in taking a risk that might have to do with taking on a bit of debt. So that's so important. So Rebecca, this has been amazing. And it's been an amazing chat. Can you tell our audience where to find you, your social media?
Yes, thank you so much for asking that. Healwithhypnosis.com, RebeccaWiener.com, and I'm on social media most places as I am Rebecca Sue. And I love if anybody needed to wanted to just discuss anything we've talked about, they could reach out to me to have a conversation.
Absolutely. And again, we've touched on some amazing topics, and I'm sure listeners will want to listen to this episode over and over again to kind of even pull on some of the kind of affirmations that you mentioned with gratitude and just on a daily basis for those small wins. So thank you so much, Rebecca,
for
being here. It was amazing having you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us this week on Holistic Wealth with Keisha Blair. Make sure to visit our website, KeishaBlair.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS, so you will never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Are you a member of the Institute on Holistic Wealth? If not, what are you waiting for? Go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth/memberships to choose your membership plan and join. As a member, you get so many perks: free worksheets, advice, coaching, and a member's workshop to design an intentionally designed life. You need to figure out your life purpose? Take the Build Your Life Purpose Portfolio online self-paced course. You're struggling with all your money decisions? Take the free financial identities quiz and then take the course. You recently had a breakup, job loss, or experienced the death of a loved one? Take the holistic healing course. You need an overall plan to achieve holistic wealth? We will help you figure out your holistic wealth blueprint. And of course, if you want to start making money by helping others achieve holistic wealth, become a certified holistic wealth consultant. Regardless of what career you've got, the Institute will show you how to increase your income and walk in your purpose. The sooner you join, the sooner you start to achieve a more holistically wealthy lifestyle. And you're going to want to stay for a very long time. So go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth/memberships to join. If you haven't read the book yet, pick up a copy of the award-winning, best-selling Holistic Wealth 32 Life Lessons to help you find purpose, prosperity, and happiness.